Bismillah and salam alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRab English Radio. Welcome to this episode of Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Q&A stands for Question and Answer. I am Atta, the host of this program. Shaykh Ahmad Danish, our respected guest speaker, is over here to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Okay, Shaykh Ahmad Danish, we know that Islam has considered some etiquettes for both men and women in their lifestyle. For instance, hijab is an inevitable part of the life of the women, as Islam considered hijab as a protection and not a limitation for human beings, especially the women. And from the other side, we have the concept of chastity or iffah, which is, we can say, the result or the fruit of hijab in both the life of the women and the men, okay? True. So men have their own hijab too. I mean, I want to say that hijab is not limited to veil or burqa or chador or abaya or something like that. For men, there is also hijab. There are some special types of etiquettes of clothing for the men too. But beside that, there might be considered some other etiquettes for the life of men too. I mean, how a man must look like in both the family and the society. From face, from outfit, behavior, okay, and the mannerism. True. This is the major question today. I mean, that what are the most important Islamic etiquettes for both men and women in the lifestyle, I mean, the ordinary life?
True. And so to add to your question, we can say that keeping a beard by a man is considered compulsory by the scholars. And so somebody could say that, why is it that hijab is, for example, enforced by Islamic government, but, for example, keeping your beard is not imposed on the males or men, right? So to answer this question and Islamic lifestyle, what we can say is that these are do's and don'ts that are essentially to be held by people in their lives, right? And we saw that in the times of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the beginning of the message of Islam, people kept these the veil, for example, on their own in society. So there was no need for the Islamic government to enforce this injunction.
That's right.
Right. What has happened is that over the passage of years, and especially before the revolution, the Islamic revolution in Iran, there was an agenda to force women to remove their veils.
Okay.
Right. And for example, we see that in the time of Reza Shah, there was a law that was passed that women cannot come out with the Islamic veil or the chador.
To give our dear listeners a little bit of the historical background, Reza Shah had a trip to Turkey. And the Ataturk over there in Turkey was making some reforms. True. One of the reforms was, in fact, changing the alphabet from the Turkish into the English one. We can say the language. Also, some of the, the outfit and the clothing style of the women was changing to the Western type of life. Still, Turkey is not a member of the European Union, okay, for our dear listeners. So Ataturk's achievements cannot be seen still, okay? They're trying false. So that's it. They are a Muslim land. They are not considered as a European secular country. So that's it. And then when he got back to Iran, he started his own reforms. He said that Iran must be changed. So one of the changes is to, remove hijab and veil and chador from the body of the women. Okay. So many movements, so many so-called broad-minded intellectual movements were made by the women on that time, but they were not successful.
Yes.
So many women were killed and were martyred under defending their hijab, okay? Hijab. They were thrown out of the roof of the houses into the streets. they committed suicide, but they could not, we can't say, I mean, they killed themselves, but they did not remove the hijab, okay?
Yes, and I heard that many women stayed for a period of a year or 2 years
in their houses.
Inside their houses, yes. Because if they would go out, there would be some officer or some soldier who would remove the veil from
hijab.
Their, their chadors would be removed. And so they would stay indoors. So what we see here is that a historical process in which these powers, and even though he went to Turkey, what we see is that even at that time, the influence of the English or the British or the United Kingdom at that time was great in those times in Iran, in the internal affairs of not only Iran, but in India, in Pakistan, and in the Egypt, and all the Muslim countries. And so this was a feeling that they induced that if you want to be like the modern nations, you have to look like them. And if you are not looking like them, you will not be able to progress in terms of science and technology, which was a fallacy, but this was promoted by the intellectuals or the Westerners, even amongst the Muslims, who admired the Western culture and their values. And so through this process, women in Islamic societies were forced to leave their hijabs or to remove their veils. And it was said or told to them that this way our societies will progress. But what we have to realize is that this is a way of controlling societies. For example, if women are coming out in society without the proper covering that is promulgated in Islam, what happens is that the balance of the society is going to be disturbed.
All right.
And this balance is between the iffah of the man and the iffah of the women.
Women, that's right.
What will happen is that extramarital relations would start taking place and family life would be weakened. Because men would not be satisfied with their families, with their wife, and the wife also would not be satisfied with their husbands.
That's right.
And this entire balance would be disturbed, as we are seeing in so many secular societies, as we are seeing not only in Muslim countries but also in the Western countries.
That's right.
In the Western countries, what is the norm today? The norm is that a relationship lasts for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We are not speaking about husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
The girlfriend and the boyfriend relationship lasts for 2 years. And this is also the figure of maybe 10 years back.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, the average could be much lesser.
Okay.
And so many children have been born out of wedlock.
Wow.
And
the number is really, really
according to statistics of a few years back, that in an elementary school, the people who sit in an elementary school, the children, 40% were living with with a single mom.
Yeah, one parent.
Yeah, one parent.
That's
and
right.
So this has a profound effect on society.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that your family structure is weakened. There is a child needs both a mother and a father.
Yes.
But if there is only a mother to look after the child, not only will she get stressed, she has to work to feed her child.
Mm-hmm.
And this entire balance of the society is going to be disturbed. And that is why we are seeing violence taking place in schools.
Yes.
Children committing acts of terror, killing children, going to school and shooting other children.
School violence, school shooting, that's right.
Schools in America where this has happened.
Yes.
And so you have armed guards sitting in schools protecting children.
We have also underage, for example, pregnancy.
Yeah.
Rape.
Everything.
Domestic violence. You know, and nowadays we could see that abortion, how much abortion is being done, for instance, in Islamia. And we know that the religion of Islam has its own rulings for abortion. if the we can say that's right, embryo is going to, or the child, the mother is pregnant with a child who has illness, serious illness. Okay, so you are allowed to, for instance, that's right, abort a child, and after 4 months, when the mother is pregnant, you are not allowed to abort the child because the soul is blown into the body of the that child. So we could see that all in all, when you are out of the religious Sharia or religious, better say, laws, your life is going to be out of control.
Yeah, and this balance. What the point is that only one aspect of social life, if you start tinkering with it and say that no, we are not going to respect the hijab, the entire balance of the society is going to be affected.
All right.
And so this is what we are seeing specifically in Western societies and in the Muslim societies also, where women have left hijab in a majority and gone towards the secular or the Western model.
All right.
We are again seeing this weakening of the families.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that the Islamic government's hands are sometimes forced because of these this historical process that has taken place in the Muslim societies.
All right.
And there's a constant pressure on Islamic governments to, for example, allow their women to come out without these limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see is that the believing men and women who exist in Muslim societies,
yes,
they adhere to these principles and they respect these.
Okay. Sheikh, even in the Western world, when you look at the, for example, the videos and the movies and the films back in the 50 years ago, or for example, 80 years ago, you could find that they were most chaste. I mean, the covering were more, even in the movies, in the Hollywood movies, okay? In the spaghetti western movies type of movie, the women were full cover from top to toe.
Yes, and
But this concept of nudity.
Yeah.
I mean, this concept of nakedness and nudity, we can say from the 70s or 80s onward, and drugs, narcotics, metal music, heavy metal music, rock music, okay, all going on. You know, the post effects of the Vietnam War.
True.
You know, in order to, we can say, to dilute the negative effects, so the drugs is now among the soldiers, and all in all, the lifestyle in the Western world itself is we can say being changed, and now their own psychologists, they regret it that we have chosen the wrong path.
Hmm.
They are getting back into some of the religious movements too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And what we can say is that your point is very true, that even 100 years back,
mm-hmm,
if you look at the pictures and the documentaries that they show or videos that they show of even 100 years back in England, women were covered from head to toe in some,
yes,
parts of England.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is very difficult to say that these are women of England living in, for example, 1905, 1910. They resemble Muslim women, their dress. So what we can say is that there was a concerted,
yes,
effort, not only in Western countries, but also in Islamic countries, to declothe societies.
Mm-hmm.
And this effort was in part led by the capitalist societies.
Mm-hmm.
The capitalist societies realized that women comprise 50% of the workforce.
That's right.
And after the First World War, when a lot of loss of able-bodied men took place in Western Europe, they realized that if we don't take,
yes,
advantage of women, we are not going to be able to run our industrialized economies. So
mm-hmm,
you need workers. And women could become workers at low pay as compared to men.
Yeah, low pay price, low,
yeah,
wage wins.
And so there was,
that's
a
right,
concerted effort to get these women to come into the workplace. And one of the coined words or one of the marketing terms was that we are liberating women by asking them to throw away their veil and to join the workforce.
Wow.
What was happening was that women were being misused. They were taken out of their family life.
That's right.
They were taken out from their lives with their children.
Yes.
And they were forced to work in very abhorrent conditions.
And we know that the woman is the main pillar of the family foundation. And when you remove the woman from the house, you're in fact removing the main pillar and the column of the society.
Yeah.
The woman is the nurturing soul of the family, is the taker of the husband, okay?
Yeah.
So by giving new roles to the woman in the society and changing him into a man, you are going to get, we can say, away the soul and the serenity out of the family. And the family is destroyed. The whole society is destroyed. Satanic tramps are over there. Thank you very much, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Please, for more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن